Happy Sunday. Good afternoon to all of you who are with us today. And we're going to have fun, just not only have fun, but be inspired, be encouraged in our journey, in our discipleship, following Jesus in our life. How many can say amen for that? How many wants to be encouraged in our discipleship journey as we follow Jesus? Amen? All right. We're going to continue this week talking about what James wants us to pay attention. The title of the sermon today is The Merchant of Faith. We've been talking about the importance of including God in our life planning in the past 2 weeks. And last week, Brother Rinaldi warned us that as if we do not include God, we are living in pride. And also, we believe wrongly of the illusion of control. Because if we don't have God, we cannot control our future. Nobody even knows what's going to happen next week, let alone next year. So, but if we just go ahead and plan our life without including Him in our planning, in our dream, in our choice of spouse, everything, then we are pretty much being prideful and being lied to. We live in an illusion, and that is not good. So The Merchant of Faith, I take the title from the particular passage that we are looking. Actually, James was talking about the merchant. Let's look at that passage. It's from James chapter 4, verse 13. Let's see. Okay. Let me click here. Hopefully you see in your screen. James chapter 4, verse 13. Let's remind ourselves what we have read in the past 2 weeks. Now listen. You who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Who is James talking to? It's the merchant, the Middle Eastern traveling merchant. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, meaning as it is that you are not including God and you are proceeding in planning this without God in your future, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. I think the word and our discussions in the past 2 weeks are pretty clear already. If you need to go back to listen or re-listen to the sermon, go to ifjapanol.org and our sermon are posted there. And we thought the matter is done and good. But turns out there is a verse 17. James feel necessary to put one more sentence. Actually, this is just a saying that is popular at that time. James is well known to put something to conclude his teaching. And this is what he said in verse 17. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. He's concluding his teaching from verse 13 about the traveling merchant. And he put this one saying that was popular at that time. That if you don't know something, if you know something good and you don't do it, it is sin. It seems like James is trying to put an emphasis. He does not want us to miss a very important teaching or advice. He does not want us to think that he is teaching the merchant how to be successful or include God and you'll make a lot of money as you travel into this city or that city. It seems like he wants to do something. He makes a commentary. Actually, the deeper commentary is not about how to be successful in making money or in life, but in the life of discipleship particularly. He used the word sin in verse 17. He used the word sin, which immediately take us into a simple life planning, into a spiritual aspect of planning. Because sin absolutely is a theological word. It's things, a sin is a word that we discuss as we discuss spiritual life. So he is not simply saying, oh, in order for you to be successful in your business venture or in life in general, then you need God. But he is taking this whole lesson, suddenly turn it into a commentary of a discipleship life, a spiritual aspect of planning. And I want you to not miss this, because that is a concluding remark of James. He just feel that he has to put it in one more sentence to the importance of including God in the planning. And he wants to suddenly shift our attention, make sure that we are not missing what he's trying to say. He wants us to be successful in our spiritual journey. That's what he intended for his listener. The journey is called discipleship journey for all of us, Christian. So let's look at the passage one more time, right? He's talking about what? He's talking about the merchant of the Middle Eastern merchant who traveled from one city to another. Probably James heard a conversation among these merchants, the conversation about their itinerary. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to go to city X. Or another merchant say, oh, I'm going to go to city Y. Because city Y, there is a lot of business opportunity there. I'm going to go there and I'm going to stay for a year. And I'm going to make money and live there. All James heard is about being successful, merchant, the planning. And then he said, wait, you need to include God, because without including God, you are sinful. And then he said in verse 17, all of us just read, is that if you know something good, the right thing to do, but you don't do it, it is a sin. Now, when he said it, immediately in my mind, I was thinking, if I know something good, will I just not do it? Because, you know, we are good people here, right? In our church, we believe that we are all good people, sincere. And if you know something good, wouldn't you just do it? But it seems like James is not convinced that all these good people is going to do some right thing. It seems like James is hesitant that even after we know, we probably will not do it, specifically about this planning, including God. I mean, there is something called the sin of omission, but I don't think James is talking about sins of omission just in general. He is talking about including God specifically in our planning, and the fact that many of us, even though we know to include God, we are not including God in our planning, and especially in a spiritual journey. That is the topic of our sermon today, his commentary on our spiritual journey. And in order to understand a little bit more about what James is trying to say, let's look at deeper what the merchant is saying and kind of look into the merchant's mindset. Okay, look at the merchant's mindset. Because I'm thinking, what is the force that can prevent us to do something good that we already know? It's all, I believe the answer is in the mindset of the merchant. So let's look at the mindset of the merchant. I can share this because our family comes from a long line of merchants, all the way from the Chinese mainland. You know, my grand or great grandparents, they are merchant, farmer, and then merchant. They turn into merchant, right? In the marketplace, selling pigs, selling tofu, and selling different thing. And then it all come down to my parents' generation, still merchant, you know, traders. And then even for some extent, I am still a merchant too. I'm selling computers today. So I think I have some kind of understanding of the mind of the merchant, and reading this James commentary on the merchant's mindset, you know, the way merchants do things, I think I can understand the mindset of a trader is this, that this is what he say, right? Today, look at the slide, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Well, what is the main motivation of merchant? Profit. Motivated by profit. When the merchant selected a certain city, in his mind, he already calculated the potential profit from that city. What's in this city for me? What is the potential profit in this city? Why do I want to choose city X versus city Y? How many can understand that? That's why people move to big city, metropolitans. Why? In general, because in the big place, people can have more opportunity to make money. The same mindset. That's why they have urbanization from the suburb, from the small villages. Everybody in the world, you know, the size of the megapolitan cities are getting bigger and there are more of them. It's because of the selection of cities as the place with more opportunities. And I think this is the same mindset for traders. You go to certain city because there are opportunity, and in your mind, that city will give you a bigger profit. And the second thing, that a mindset of a trader is this, they want immediate result. Why? Because they only have a certain limited time. Look, this particular merchant is saying that he will live there about 1 year and then move on probably. So the result has to be within that 1 year, a short time, quick profit. Immediate result. And so if you want to come, if you come to this merchant and saying, hey, can I get your stuff, buy your stuff, but help me with a loan, 10 years loan, okay, so that I can sell what you sold me and then make some money and I'll repay you. No such thing. For a traveling merchant, they don't want to carry account receivable. They want cash. Cash is king. No long-term commitment. So motivated by profit, immediate quick profit, and quick money. No loan. Okay? That's my mindset, by the way, when I deal with a new customer who wants, you know, to buy my computers. You know, I immediately calculated how much money I'm going to make. And what is the term? How quick he will pay, this company will pay. And we negotiate on term. The company usually want 90 days. I said, no, 90 days is too long. You know, I want fast turnaround, you know, and then we negotiate it. I want 30, they want 90, and then we settle something about 45 days or 60 days. What have you? No commitment. Now, imagine this mindset of a merchant is being brought to our discipleship journey. And soon enough, you will find that we will find that this mindset is just totally incompatible with the life of a disciple. If we apply this mindset of quick profit, no long-term commitment, we will have problem with facing the fact that as Christian, we sometimes, or actually most of the time, we have to go through suffering. It's not easy in our journey of discipleship. And that will make us quickly give up in our journey of discipleship. If we keep on asking, you know, like a merchant is asking, what is in this city for me? And then the same attitude we ask in our discipleship journey, what's in it for me? Then you will quickly be disappointed because sometimes the discipleship does not produce visible fruit fast enough. And all of us want fast. we have a mentality of a merchant of faith without realizing it, because we brought that kind of mentality into our discipleship journey. What's in it for me? Is the preaching is going to be fun? Is the song is going to be entertaining? Will I meet someone special, my potential spouse in the church if I go to church? What's in it for me? Will the sermon immediately motivate me, strengthen me to face what I'm facing today? I need help right now, right this moment, applicable, relevant, right now, for my season right now. What's in it for me? Is it going to be fast? And does the church or this discipleship journey need commitment, long-term commitment? Oh man, too long. Just go ahead, let me browse in my YouTube some well-known preacher that will inspire me, good communicator, and require no commitment. Do you think that's going to be a recipe for good discipleship, if you have that kind of mentality? And this kind of mentality, as soon as the test of discipleship, oh yeah, there will be a test, suffering, difficulty, challenges come your way, do you think you can stand and proceed? Because the journey of discipleship is neither quick, easy, or fast, or comfortable. And Brother Rinaldi last week point out one problem about our boasting in our capability and about the illusion of self-control. And he mentioned quickly, he called it the inability to suffer well. Now, I pick on that quickly, inability to suffer well. And I quickly work it in my mind. That is so true. If I have a wrong mindset about this life and planning and just focus on just the financial journey, but when I apply this, I will be unable to suffer well, because clearly the Bible teach us, in order to be a disciple, there are costs, there are difficulties. Matthew 16, verse 24 says, Jesus says this to his disciple, if anyone wants to come after me or follow me, he must deny himself and carry his cross. That is not something that is comfortable to carry your cross. Of course, that is a saying, carry the cross, means there will be times that you will have to carry something that is not comfortable, suffering sometime. Knowing that you are pursuing the path like Jesus did to the cross with eventually very big tragedy for a moment. That's what Jesus went through, to the cross. And if you are to follow Jesus to the cross and you have the mentality of a merchant, you're probably going to give up. I don't want to see, wow, I'm going to have to pay such a big price like Jesus at the cross. Even though you know that eventually Jesus will be victorious, but still that road to the cross, is filled with many, many suffering. Philippians 1:29 says, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, many believers, but also to suffer for his sake. Believing is a mental process. Suffering is the manifestation of what you believe in your daily life. Sometimes we can easily say, I believe this, I believe that, I agree with this, I agree with that. But it comes time when you have to manifest what you believe in your daily living, in your daily planning, as you journey in the discipleship life, you give up. Even though the Bible clearly calls for us to suffer for Christ's sake. Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me, because of Jesus. Rejoice and be glad. Because why? because great is your reward in heaven, for the same way they persecuted prophet before you. If you bring this merchant mindset into your discipleship journey, soon you will find that this mindset is inappropriate, as I discussed. Yes, the disciples, you know, even Christians, we look for profit. But this profit sometimes is not visible. Sometimes it's not immediately. Look at verse 12, the one that we just looked, Matthew 5:12. It says, great is your reward in where? On earth? Sometimes not. Sometimes we have to wait until heaven to get the reward. Sometimes we want a quick result. If I do this good thing, then God, you are obligated to give me that. We play this merchant game. If I go to Sunday service, then God, you are obligated to give me a spouse. You are obligated to give me a breakthrough in whatever things that I expect. But sometime, our reward we can only see in heaven. And pay attention again to verse 12. When will the reward be given? Verse 11, actually, before the reward. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you. Rewards come after persecution. Rewards come after difficulties. That's the nature of discipleship. And maybe right now we are living in a Western world where everybody is free to worship God and there's no persecution. You don't feel any physical threat of people wanting to hurt you because of what you believe. Maybe not. But the Bible clearly says, if you want to be transformed in your heart, that is hard work. It's a hard work. It's a great hard work, because why? You have to deny yourself. Our heart is deceitful. Discipleship is difficult because we are asked to transform our heart, and the yield, the results may not be immediate. Discipleship is about heart, and the heart is a difficult thing. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Deceitful means it lies. It hides things and lies. The heart, your heart, my heart, it likes to hide bad things. It likes to lie to our mind. It likes to justify, give excuse. And sometimes we are not even detecting our weaknesses until way later. And that's to transform that kind of heart is a great task. It's the big task. Plato says this, the first and greatest victory is to conquer yourself. He say that because he said many people, many kings, many warriors can conquer other. But to conquer yourself, your heart, that is the greatest victory because it's the most difficult victory. The climber of Mount Everest, the first one who get to the peak of the highest peak in the world, Mount Everest, Sir Edmund Hillary says this, it is not the mountain we conquer, even though he was at the top of the mountain, it was not the mountain we conquer, but it is our heart. It is yourself. Those who conquer themselves, their heart, those who can transform their deceitful heart, they can conquer mountain. So it is very difficult, the process of discipleship. And if we bring the mindset of merchants of wanting quick result, easy transaction, no commitment, then we are in the wrong place. Now, this is the question for all of us. How can we be successful despite the difficulties of discipleship journey? Obviously, that's what James wants to comment on. He does not want to just just make the merchant being successful in their business trip. He wants the disciple to be successful in their discipleship journey. So what can sustain us in our lifelong disciple journey that are filled with hardship? And let me tell you this. I hope I have enough time to tell you. Number one is this. I think successful mindset for discipleship is the mindset of love. And I'll read the word to you and I'll explain. The 1 John 4:10, we know that Jesus and God loves us, right? This is the kind of love that we are talking about from Message Bible. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that He loved us. And because He loved us, what did He do? He sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and damage they have done to our relationship with God. See, this is the key if you want to be successful. When you do things with the mindset and guide of love of God. If your mindset is a mindset of a merchant who always asks, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Then you will not be successful. You will not have the necessary strength. But we just copy Jesus. We follow Jesus. How did Jesus able to obey His Father's commandment and will, God's will, so that He is successful in saving us? It's because He is motivated and guided by His love for us. When you are motivated by love in your discipleship, you will find power. You will find that you can go on. You have enough to go on. I remember when Chi Yen Yen, my wife now, and me, we were still having a long distance relationship. She stayed in Atlanta finishing her undergraduate. I was a young computer professional here in the Bay Area. And one of the year when we were still going steady, long-distance relationship, I believe that was the year 1992, the company that I worked for gave me a training opportunity. So I can take a training from the computer company that we serviced at that time. I can go anywhere in the United States for training. And lucky for me, remember at that time, Chi Jen is in Atlanta, I'm in Bay Area. Lucky for me, there is a training center in Atlanta. Even though there is a training center also in Santa Clara at that time. Guess, which one do I choose? I choose the one in Atlanta because the company pay for it, you know, and all that. So I choose the training center in Atlanta. Now, is it convenient? No, but I remember that year, 1992, I traveled 5 times to Atlanta. For 1 week training. It's a long distance. You're going to East Coast, so you're losing sleep, right? You have to wake up. The class training start at 8, which means 5 a.m. here. And, you know, it's really tiring. But I did that gladly. I did that because why? Because I was motivated by love. I have strength. I have endurance. I'm excited, I have joy, I'll do everything in order to meet someone that I love, to be with someone that I love. So this is the kind of mindset I think is very important. When you want to start and traveling in a discipleship journey, you know that it's going to be difficult, your heart will be challenged, hidden sin will be revealed by the Holy Spirit. Go forward, guided by love. You love Jesus. If you have been saved by Jesus, you know how big your sin was, and Jesus was willing to go to the cross for you because of His love. That is how we need to walk in our discipleship life. Walk by love, motivated by love, not by what's in it for me, what's a quick profit. The second one and the last one I want to share is this. Mindset of cooperation. You know that you're only human, right? And a human who has a deceitful heart. Your mind is playing tricks on you all the time. Oh, I'm a good person. Oh, I don't kill. Oh, I don't cheat. oh, I'm not as bad as this person or that person, but in the deep down dark places of your heart, you know who you are. I know who I am. We cannot do it by ourselves. But thank be to God, because He does not leave us by ourselves. The Word of God, John 14, verse 16 to 17 says this, and I will ask the Father, knowing that you really need help, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. He is talking about the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because it neither sees Him or know Him. Meaning this, if you know Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, you can have the Holy Spirit to empower your discipleship life. You cannot do it by yourself. You need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be with you. 2 Peter verse 1, it's not chapter 2, but chapter 1, verse 3, a mistype there. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. This is key. Sometimes we complain, God, I don't have the strength. Of course you don't, because you are mere human who have deceitful heart. But God does not let us be alone. He said, I have given you power. I will give you the Holy Spirit so that you can live a godly life. It is not out of your reach. You can do it. Because the Holy Spirit is empowering you. I just want to encourage you. You want to be successful as James expected you to be successful in your discipleship journey. You do things out of love, not out of profit, that is momentary and quick. This discipleship journey is a long, lifelong journey. Do it because you love Jesus, not because somebody tells you to do it, not because you calculate it and there is a short-term profit of meeting your spouse or being encouraged, or, you know, nothing wrong with all that, by the way. But let that not be your main strength and power that you draw from for the life of discipleship. Your main power comes from because you know God. You know He loves you and you want a response to Him. Let's pray to conclude this. This power, the Holy Spirit, it's only available if you believe. My question to you, do you believe in Jesus as your Savior? If you have not, then obviously that's why you fail all the time. You feel that there is no strength in this life to do the right thing, which James was encouraging his people to do. But you can do it if you know Jesus. If you know Him, the Bible says, He will dwell with you and will be with you. And when He is with you and in you, you have that strength to carry on, to do the right thing so that you are not sinful. Are you that kind of person? Let's pray. God, I pray for those who listen to this broadcast. If they have not known you as a personal Savior, God, we pray for your grace and mercy. Refill yourself. Refill yourself to this brother, to this sister, that he may know you and may have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of him or her. Now, this is for those of us who travel this disciple journey already. Do you feel that a lot of time you feel weak? Do you feel that sometimes you feel that you cannot carry on? The Holy Spirit will help you transform your mind. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit, which dwell inside each one of us who believe, help us to shift our mindset from a mindset of a trader for quick profit, quick turnaround, no commitment, and always asking what's in it for me. God, we pray that you will help us transform our mind so that we can persevere. We can travel this life knowing that everything happened for good, so that we can become more like you, Lord, in our discipleship journey. That is our goal, our destination, is to be like you, Jesus. So do whatever necessary, God, in our lives. Help us transform our mind and give us power to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray, all of us. We'll end our Sunday service. I believe the Word of God is speaking to your heart to strengthen your discipleship journey, so that you do not use the mentality or mindset of the merchant and apply that to our spiritual journey, but we use biblical standard, the mind of Christ. Let's all stand. I'm going to pray for...